This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Once Had a Dream podcast. My name's Lee Finch, and as ever, I will be joined by Danny Baker. We do have a special guest today, and that is Callum Price, who will be joining us in a minute. Danny, how are we? How are we this week?
I'm absolutely marvellous. Can I talk about a rather trivial subject on it?
Go on.
Soup. Can we talk about soup for a minute?
Not a fan.
Do you know what? I knew you wouldn't be. I knew you wouldn't be. Is soup, could you cast soup as a dinner, Lee, or not? Is it a starter? Could you have it on your own?
I wouldn't order it at all, really. It's when you're ill, when you're sick, and you're cold or something like that. You always get tomato soup out and a loaf of bread, and you just go for it. Do you know what I mean?
Just the conversation we had at work today, I was talking about soup and about, is soup if you've got like little bits in it? And I was talking to my dad, and dad's like, I like it like a soup that is basically smooth. And I was like, no, it's got bits in it.
No,
and
no, I can't have bits.
Work, well, like, why are you having soup? And I was like, well, I like soup, but I have like soup and salad at work, obviously with my figure. I'm always on soup and salad.
And then,
what are you laughing at? And then I was like, hold on. And they were like, hold on, you can't have just soup.
You can't
have soup and something. And I was like, well, I can. I've just had it.
What I don't get is cold soup. You ever had that?
What, gazpacho?
Yeah, that's it. Gazpacho.
Oh, God. Did not he play the Doncaster gazpacho?
Yeah, he was quality.
But no, so that was it. My week's been excellent. Had a big soup debate, and obviously
calling it big.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a massive week for me.
Who was it between the head of cricket and the head of badminton?
Right, can you stop that, please? Bolton. It was Bolton. It was head of French, actually. So it was, you know, Bolton, Gillingham, and then talking about the best soup. By the way, anyone interested? Your favourite soup?
If you can beat Oxtail soup, I'd rather talk about soup than talk about Gillingham and Bolton. But
Oxtail soup, Oxtail anyway, chicken and vegetable in that order.
Yeah. Other than football, I'm all good. Thanks for asking, though, Dan.
I'm better ask, actually.
Yeah, I'm all good other than that, really. I ain't had any soup debates. I ain't really had... The food ain't really on my agenda. I'm trying to lose weight before I go to Vegas.
How are you getting on? Doing all right?
Not really. Oh. Fell off the wagon the other day.
No.
Yeah.
We've been off the wagon Wimbledon since December. So
the problem is, I drove down to Heathrow. I had to go to Luton really early in the morning to pick someone up, and they got delayed by 3 hours. And the only thing to eat was McDonald's.
You didn't pick up a centre forward there, did you?
No, I didn't. Anyway, let's get our guests on. Let's speak to Callum. Callum, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very well. Very well.
You're bringing the average age down, Callum, which is fantastic work, mate. Well done.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we said earlier. We had a couple of older boys on lately, Charlie and Jones. I don't think they'll mind us saying that. And it's good to get a younger... You're 19, is that right?
19, yeah, 19.
I mean, what we've been doing, Lee, obviously, we went through the recruitment panel, didn't we? We had all the recruitment, the six of us recruitment panel, and we decided that if we're going to be successful, we've got to go with youth. Got to give them a chance. We identified a key player. Yep. He'll be on. We might sell him on for millions, and then we'll kick on, and who knows where we could be.
Callum was our first choice.
That's what we're about, Lee, isn't it?
Our first choice, Callum.
Yeah. First choice, and we went through all of the things. We looked at the budget. Budget's limited, but that's what we're going to talk about, the way we play.
Are you a Superman, Callum?
Am I Superman? I don't think so. No,
a Superman. A Superman. Oh. Do you like soup?
No, let's talk about Superman.
I am not a Superman at all. No, not a chance. I've had it twice probably in my whole entire life.
Just me on my own then, is it?
Also, favourite.
It's
Superman.
Just watering. It's just, nah.
It's not
advertising
not
as well. It doesn't look great.
Yeah. Talk about superheroes. The best superhero is Batman, obviously.
Yeah, I agree.
We never had superpowers. He was just double hard.
I thought he was the best Superman, but you go for who you want.
right, come on.
Who's going to get the elephant in the room started with Bolton and Gillingham?
The two games.
I feel like it should be you, really.
Right, so Bolton game. There's a couple of things that really annoy me about the Bolton game, right? Bolton is a tough game anyway. It's going to be really, really hard. But the stuff we hear again before the game, they're all psyched up and everything like that, and they're going to go out and... After the game, where they said they're going to refund everyone's match day and travel, that's now changed to just match tickets. I don't think people should be getting refunds. It's part and parcel of football. You go to games knowing you're going to get battered sometimes. You know, we've been up to Old Trafford and lost 5-0, been up Highbury and lost 5-0, and seen some awful performances over the years at AFC Wimbledon as well. But once you say you're going to offer a refund, you have to do it. And I just think we shouldn't even said that kind of stuff, because then we'll go on Gillingham later, because the next game, you then have to get a reaction, which I don't think we have done. And just Bolton, I just thought it was men against boys again. I know I try to look at it on as what Jonesy was saying last week, where we zoom out and look at the positives and look at the stuff. And we did have five major players out. But what is the point of the geezer from Barnsley? Why is he here? He's on like a 6-month trial.
He was particularly poor, wasn't he? He was really, really poor.
I remember the first 2 minutes he tried to beat someone, didn't he? He tried to go around someone and he just got the ball taken off him like with ease. It was like me playing against my 5-year-old son. Do you know what I mean?
But I look to you being Thomas, yeah?
Yeah, that's the problem. But yeah, it was embarrassing, Bolton. Embarrassing.
Yeah, shocking result.
I'll carry on, mate.
When I saw the lineup, I tweeted and I said, I actually feel bad for the fans that have made the travel up there. And some people started giving me some stick, and then we lost 4-0. And then it was just like, it was just shocking. But what I didn't like was Robbo, you know, he's kind of on the YouTube and stuff. He's giving it, saying, you know, we'll bang up for it, this, that, the other. And then obviously we just go there and we're just spineless.
I think the real challenge for me, Lee, is, and I was really, really disappointed after Bolton. Me and my dad were watching it and very rarely do we get to a point where we're like, right, okay, I think we've had enough, and we had. And it was just, the thing is, Mark spoke so eloquently last week, me and Lee, well, I don't think we've seen so much traffic in terms of people kind of engaging in the conversation. And it was great to have someone come in and genuinely feel like he kind of rallied the troops. We also know, believe it or not, that people at the club are listening to this for whatever reason, and we welcome you this evening. The challenge is that we obviously have, our people are hearing what we're saying, all of that passion, and to have such a passive performance from a load of guys who I genuinely felt were motivated to go out and perform. I just felt really sad that we basically, some guys poured his heart out on here. It's obvious that Robbo's probably heard it. Joe Palmer's probably heard it. Players have probably maybe heard it. Who knows? And to go from that to play against Bolton and be so poor. And I don't even mean it by, and it's similar to Gillingham. I always say that players kind of try it, but I generally felt that they hadn't, they weren't at their most there. But the basics, like passing, like it was almost like we were allergic to passing. It was ridiculous. I thought the Saturday game with Bolton was pretty scandalous. Anyway, go on,
I was just as the same as you, mate. I was watching it halfway through, and I know the thing is, I get it. Like Oxford, we've said before, you lose to Oxford, you lose to Bolton, you get beat by these teams, they're better than you. And we've always said that if the team's better than you on the day, it's just it happens, you get beat 4-0 at Bolton. But I was just embarrassed watching it again. And I know I keep harping about Wimbledon days and the old Wimbledon and stuff like that. And what I'm seeing at the moment is I'm just seeing very good salespeople selling us dreams and selling us processes and procedures and whatever it is. And then when we get out on a Saturday, it's just watching these kids just try and play football. And it's like a Conference South team trying to compete in League One.
Yeah.
And I'm really struggling with it. Like, we missed Asau Rudi, and people are saying, oh, they'll leave in the summer, we'll be fine, we can replace them. But then you're watching the actual replacements on a Saturday. And again, we've spoke about this previously, and we go over it every week about our loans and stuff like that. And they're just shocking. They're so bad, some of these players that are playing for us at the moment. And I just look, where McCormick's gone backward in my foot. I think only Marsh is the only one who's had any credit at the moment in the last, what, few weeks, few months. And I'm just looking at him thinking, when, like, Ben Hennigan come out after, and I know Chris done a good interview and he pushed him, but you shouldn't be saying all that stuff. Like, he had a go at Chiswick. I felt he had a go at Chiswick for he didn't control the ball and we should have maybe had a chance there and stuff. And it's, and this, oh, they're talking all the time in the dressing room. Fuck off, stop talking and actually perform on the pitch. I'm done with it. Go on, Karen.
Yeah, I think as well, it's like when you don't have a Sal and Rudi, there is no backup option. There is, it's just, it's spineless. And what, you know, what he was saying, you know, he was saying before the game, oh, you know, he's reading off who's not playing, but he's still kind of, you know, trying to give it some that we're up for it. And it's just kind of so obvious we're not. And in defence, we just kind of, we just look just non-existent. I also think since Will's come back from his injury, I think he's not looked the Will Nightingale we know. You know, we all know how good he can be. He's come back and he's not, I don't know whether he's fit, not fit maybe, or still injured. I don't know, but he looks like quite vulnerable. Normally he's really solid.
Like, I was looking at formation and I saw Nestor Guinness-Walker playing in our midfield. And I'm thinking, he's not a midfielder. He just about plays left back at the moment. And then we're putting him in midfield and just giving him no hope because he ain't going to do anything against Bolton. Let's move on to, because there's not much we can say about, but with regards to Gillingham on Tuesday, I thought Gillingham was worse than the Bolton game. I thought we performed worse. I thought we were awful. 25 minutes in the game, I thought we could have been 2-0 up, 2-0 down, sorry. They could have had a penalty. I tweeted from the One Was Out of Dream Twitter saying, keep your match tickets because refunds will be incoming.
Just be clear, Lee sent that, not me.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'll put my name on that. I'm happy to put my name on that because it was me. It was a bit of tongue in cheek saying, look, because one again, where does it stop regarding refunds? Because I thought the Gillingham game was worse than the Bolton game. As we could have been 2-0 down against Gillingham easy. They had three or four chances before we even got our own half. That's 25, 30 minutes into a game. I'm expecting a reaction after all the talking after Bolton. Stop coming out and giving it all a load of spill, a load of salesman talk, and get out on that pitch and actually play. We couldn't string a pass together. Not like you said, two passes. We couldn't even do one pass on Tuesday against Dunham. It was actually embarrassing. And also, what really annoyed me is, I know we've got this process and we're following it through, but the interview beforehand with Robbo, the interview before the Gillingham game, he said he will not change anything. We're not just going to, you tell the boys just to lump it. All we did against Gillingham was just get the ball and we're so scared of it, we just lumped it. Cosgrove, bless him, I felt really sorry for him. Everyone's jumping on him. He was literally a man on his own with not a player near him for 10, 15 yards. Cosgrove gets injured within 10 minutes, right? So we try something different. Cosgrove gets injured. So we take a striker off and put a left back on. Away to Gillingham in a 6-point. And then we're going mental after, like we've just, like, oh yeah, we've got a point. I know some people are going to say a point's a good result. It keeps Gillingham down there. But Gillingham are shit. They're shockingly bad. But yeah, we're worse.
I think the problem is unfortunately, and it's the predictability of every single game now. We're like, how are we going to get out of this rut? And it is a really bad rut. Like 14 matches. There's not many teams in a season who will go 14 matches without a win and manage to get out of it. I tell you one thing though, this league, there are four horrendous football teams if we are not in the bottom four. There are four absolute circuses out there. How we are even remotely 2 points clear of the drop.
We'd be five if we win on Saturday. Ball,
but the last four games have been that abject and we've been so poor since that Wickham game. It's been frightening. I think the thing as well for me, and I think and it goes back to the process, and again, I'll ask a final question later, but one of the things, I just listened to the interview after the game, and Robbo was talking about how he gets the players to not, you know, to play without fear and this sort of stuff. Forgive me for being blunt, isn't that Salas' job? That's not Robbo's job. Salas has come in to be the mindset coach, positivity coach, and et cetera. And he's talking about lads being terrified. That's got to be, well, we have got this specialist in who's part of our training team, who specializes in this. We've put obviously money into this resource. And yet, I know it might be a longer project, but surely to Christ, the one thing he's got to do, he's got to nail that. And it's like, we haven't done that.
Yeah, I was speaking about Gillingham. I think we've got so scared of losing and a fear of losing that we're just settling for a point. I know it's not right. But and also what Robert was saying after the game didn't give me much confidence either. You know, he was saying apparently people, you know, people aren't looking to get the ball, etc. like that. It's just not really sounding very confident. And then we're going into Saturday against Doncaster with a massive, massive game. Just doesn't give me any hope.
Two things first, right, boys, is what one, I'll come back to your point of, you just made, Danny, regarding Steve Salas. But yeah, how are we going to improve this situation? I'm struggling with what we're doing and the processes and stuff like that. With Steve Salas, I'm not having Steve Salas at all, unfortunately. I find some of the tweets and stuff quite arrogant. And I just find it that it's his job to kind of get these boys motivated and stuff. Remember, who did we have in the New Ardley days? Do you remember that we had someone come in, a mindset coach, who got Lyle Taylor going? No, we did though. We had someone who come in and done a great job. And we got, but I just find.
Oh, I remember the guy. I don't know what his name is. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Do you remember? And he got every single one of them players going. And I just find that some of these players are like strangers to each other nowadays. They just don't look like they're friends and stuff. There is a video on Tuesday. I don't know if you boys seen it. I don't know if you've seen it, Callum. I know you have, Danny, because I sent it to you. I sent it. Mabuda's talking to a mate of his who plays at Gillingham at the end of the game. 90 minutes is gone. Robbo's coming onto the field to go shake the referee hand, sees Mabudi talking to his pal, turns around to Bezo and says, look at this, grabs Mabudi and tells him to stop talking to his mate, and then has a little word with Gillingham players, which, again, it, like Jonesy said last week, it isn't what you expect from Robbo. And then I just don't get it at the moment. I really don't.
When we were speaking about the recruitment, there was this really, and again, this is where it's sort of a fascinating experience. And I don't know whether it's a breakdown of the players lack the quality in terms of their actual play, or whether they lack the personality. But the one thing that was spoken about the recruitment is that they go through these tests and all sorts about their personality. They're interviewed about their personality, what kind of personality they are. Do they understand the Wimbledon way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now we've got a bunch of guys who don't want to play the Wimbledon way. At the moment, they don't want to receive the ball. They're terrified to play. They're not experienced enough. Like, what? I don't understand. If that is something that we've been doing, where's the evidence that this has been successful? And ultimately, for me, and to be blunt, for me, I've said this before. I'm Robbo still. I think he stays. I think he's longer term. I know people have got their opinions, but the thing I'm interested in and the thing that I'm frustrated about is that we haven't looked to adapt or change. We've been speaking a lot, and the whole thing we spoke about at the beginning of the season, Robbo said, I want to be a team that can change formation whenever we want. I want to be a team that can decide that you're going to play five or you got a quick forward, we can do something. And all we've done, I think if it's like Mike Bassett playing 4-4-2, it's just like we needed to be dynamic, a different approach, different players, and the personalities and all the jargon that we've been speaking to. And we just haven't followed through with it. And I think that's the bit that's hurtful, is that we kind of felt that we bought into a process and we bought into all of this stuff. And then actually the process hasn't been what it's been. And a case of whether there's a point where Robbo goes, do you know what? I've made a mistake here. I need to change it or not. But the one thing I would say, you don't stay up often in League One by playing good football. You actually stay up in relegation fights by battling, by pulling your sleeves up and battling. Fair play. I know the Gillingham game was a pretty horrendous one, but I thought we defended really, really well in a difficult situation. I don't think we passed the ball well. I don't think we attacked very well. I don't think we played very well, but we defended strong. We did keep the first clean sheet we've had since Napoleon Bonaparte was alive. So we kind of kept plenty of... There are things that you can look to if you're looking at crumbs, but we're at a point now where, frankly, being a nice football team doesn't work anymore. And we need people who are prepared to go out there and die in the shirt. And I wonder, having our entire front line up as loan players, who frankly at the end of the year they go off, and it doesn't matter what happens to us because they go. that is the concern. Have we got the right kind of balance of players? Because Mabude, let's be honest, he's been pony and he'll go back and he doesn't give a monkey's about us.
Yeah, Thomas, he doesn't look interested either.
Not in the slightest. And Thomas, bless him, he's come, he's got his lovely hair, he does a step over, he barely receives it. He's not going to be interested.
Yeah.
We've got a number. I mean, Terry Oblade, bless him, runs around a lot. He's like for me, he's like the hare at the beginning of the Greyhounds. Like, he goes around nice and quick, but ends up, it just, there's nothing really happening at the end of it.
Just a quick point. Someone made a point, one of my mates made a point on Saturday against Bolton, was that we got the wrong Fulham loaner. You look at the one they had, the right winger.
It was
absolutely brilliant. And then we had Terry Blood, who don't look like he's ever played a game of football for a man's team before. Callum, is there any point, anything else you want to just add?
Is there any point?
Is there any point?
Talking about Battle and that, I do believe that's where we miss Woodyard. You know, I think probably realistically he's our best player and he's our biggest leader as well. You know, he really does take the game to the opposition as much as he can, you know, and he tries to get the other players up for it. And I think he's a big miss right now. But just talking about this, the new striker we've got, you know, I see him getting a bit of stick and stuff, but he's got no service. You know, who's around him to do anything? You can't just expect a bloke to go into a team, you know, who's just come in on loan to start banging in goals like that. If he was that good, he wouldn't have been coming on loan to us. So,
question, chaps. Quick question for you both. If we do stay up, right, let's play hypothetical chickens, if you like. If we do stay up and we have a run of three or four games in a row and we win, are we paper over cracks here? I mean, are we literally saying, do you know what, even staying up this year, which hopefully people, whether we will, whether we won't, are we generally now papering over some cracks, or are we now going, do you know what, guys, if we stay up or not, we're going to need to change. That doesn't work. And we as a club, we try to do this. And I know it's a long-term journey, and I do admire what Robbo's tried to do off the pitch and stuff, but I'd like to think that we can't carry on with the same way that we've been operating. So I'd be interested to know whether just crack over or not. I don't know.
I agree with what you're saying, and it's getting annoying to the point where it's seeming like every season kind of getting in a little bit of a situation where we're kind of in a relegation battle. We're scrapping at the bottom. But obviously, you know, I'd hate us to get relegated. You know, obviously, every fan wants us to stay up, but whether it be the right thing, I don't really know.
I mean, it's hard because, let's be honest, Lee, we've spoken about it a number of times. We haven't got the budget. We know that. We have every year we've been staying in the league and we've been relatively poor. But we've obviously got to try and do something different.
Yeah, I feel
this doesn't work. So
the biggest miss, in my opinion, as well, is we've always had a good striker. Well, you know, Joe Pickett, for example, you know, 25 goals in our team. You know, you can't just, well, obviously you can sell him, but you can't really replace that with what we're working with. And I feel like, you know, we're just getting these players and then they're just going and we're not really replacing them with anyone who's actually good enough to do what he's done. I'm not saying we can get someone in who can score 25 goals a season this year, because that's unrealistic. But it's just running short and the players...
For me, answering your question, Danny, something really needs to change somewhere at the club. If it's because the recruitment this year hasn't worked, the process is maybe long term will work. So do we stick with Robbo and his management team? I am getting to a point now where I'm finding the management team quite arrogant with the way they're coming across, that this is our process. This is what we're sticking to. And the arrogance is really kind of winding me up a little bit. This is it. This is our way or that. And the Don Strasbourg are kind of sleepwalking into a relegation. And it doesn't matter what league we're playing in next year, because we have Plough Lane, which I don't buy into. I want to be in the best league that we can possibly be in, which is League One at the moment, playing against the Sheffield Wednesdays, the Ipswiches, the Sunderlands. I don't want to be going to Forest Green, Salfords, people like that. Also, where does Joe Palmer lie in all this? Is it time that Joe Palmer left? Too many mistakes are happening on and off the pitch all the time. Is it Joe Palmer now? Like, I've been told that Robbo is untouchable at the moment. Untouchable. We're in a worse run of form than when Glyn Hodges was here. We're 14 games without a win. We are not playing. It is not good football either at the moment. It's not like you're turning up and I keep getting told this bullshit that, yeah, we're trying. Like, we're one win away and all this and going on a run. But I think Joe Palmer needs to look and go, who's holding people accountable? that's the thing. It's accountability again that we're talking about. Who's holding Joe Palmer accountable for any of them? Like, he's on the recruitment committee, right? And that's been an absolute farce this season. I don't care what people say. Right, we've got Marsh and McCormick probably out of that, but the rest of them is shit. Presley, shit. Lawrence, where is Lawrence at the moment? Kajar, we got Kajar in. He's injured again. Who else? Mabudi, Terry Oblade, the geezer from Barnsley. Do you know what I mean? We're signing just players just for numbers, where before we signed a decent striker, we had someone else come in. It's just what, and don't get me started. I know the stadium stuff. I know this is where you need Jonesy on to make it a little bit more positive and actually make us zoom out a little bit. But there's mistakes after mistakes after mistakes this season with stuff like spelling mistakes and the bars being too long. I know things are improving, but it shouldn't have got to that stage when you had a whole season at Plough Lane without fans there to make sure everything was good when fans came in. I just think, Joe Palmer, your time's up, mate. Bye.
Do you know what? Zooming out, right? Let's pause and zoom out. But think of it from a football perspective. If you think about the way that it's been dressed up is the fact that we know that we've got a limited budget, and we know that it doesn't define everything, but it is an important part of the football, right? We know that. People can argue about it to you blue in the face, but it does. Having a budget does equal a certain expectation or an average field. It does, Lee. It bloody does. Man City have got the richest team, they're top of the league, and they're going to piss it. It does happen. Money does matter.
No, because Liverpool, who was second and pushing them every way, won the league the other year, don't spend as much as Man City. No,
so you're in the top six of the league. Four of them are probably going to be the biggest spenders or the biggest.
Ipswich are one of the biggest spenders in our league, and they're struggling this year.
Are always going to be anomalies. There are always going to be anomalies in any league. You look at the bottom six, they are more or less six of the bottom eight on the budget. You are always going to be within a catchment area of your budget. Yes, you may overperform. Yes, you may underperform. But in general, the average, you are going to be in that slot. So if we are going to have a bottom six budget, which is at the moment we're relegation budget, and we can't afford to get bigger players, and we've gone this route, if we are saying that what we've done at the moment doesn't work, what is the solution? Is the solution smaller squads, loads of youth players to fill up the background, and you go free experienced players? What is the solution?
But this is what I'm saying. Who's accountable for this? We're just letting Robbo just go, this is the process we're sticking to. And it is dire. The football is absolute dire to watch. And we keep getting told, yeah, but once it clicks, even Jonesy said last week, once it clicks, we're going to fly. But it's not clicking. It is all we did. I think we had one shot against Gillingham, where the keeper's wearing a bright yellow shirt and shorts, and there's not one piece of mud on him, right? It's getting embarrassing on the pitch now, where people, I think if we struggle, I know we're going to talk about Doncaster as we always do at the end, but if we struggle against Doncaster on Saturday, I think it's going to be very toxic at the game. And who goes? Who's the one that goes now? Do we stick with the manager and his team, who I think are too young, too inexperienced? I think we should have brought in an experienced second to help Robbo. I think he's got no help with regards to... I love Rob Tuvey. I love the people there, but none of them are experienced. They're all youth coaches. Yeah. And you need someone else who's experienced. Who's accountable? Is it the Don's Trust Board or is it Joe Palmer? Joe, I don't know. Silent Joe, I don't know what he does. All he does is go out with his 5-5 that no one gives a shit about. Actually, say what like that, and the recruitment policy is absolute dire this year.
Talking about Robbo being a bit inexperienced, about three seasons ago, I played Wimbledon in a cup game and Robbo was there. Like, this was for a little village team. So, you know, three or four seasons ago, he wasn't in any first team managerial job. And obviously now he's our first team manager. It's a massive step up. And I don't know whether himself and his backroom staff have got enough experience in that league. And I think now it's starting to show a little bit. It's getting a bit squeaky bum. He's saying all this stuff, oh, we're going to win, we're going to get a result. I think if we lose to Doncaster on Saturday, I think we're done. I think we're down.
I tell you one thing, since Simmons has gone, we haven't been the same. Yep, and I don't know much about that lad at all. But the one thing I would say is that we are a backroom, we've lost a backroom staff member and not replaced them. People, and again, I'm just chucking speculative out there. People like Kenny Jackett out of a job. I'm not saying people like him. I'm just saying there is an old boy who's been around the traps, who has not got to be particularly, who's just going to give Robbo a slightly different opinion on something. Personally feel that he needs someone to come in and just give him some sort of experience of something.
I totally agree with what you said. He needs some experience with him. And as I said, Simmons, you talk about Simmons. I agree. Well, since he's gone, we have looked dire form wise. But that's a man who is working with some of the best footballers in the world. No disrespect to Rob Toobin or them. Our youth team are good, but the Chelsea lot to the Wimbledon lot are a different level.
So why didn't we replace him then? Why didn't we replace him?
We have replaced him. We have replaced him.
With who?
Darius Charles.
and the other young lad. What's his name?
But that's another youth team manager.
No, I get that. But
I love Rob Roberts a bit. I talked to Robert personally. I really respect him. I think he's done a brilliant youth team. He's done great in the youth team. But unfortunately, at the moment, for me, he is not a first team manager. Maybe he would have been brilliant as a first team assistant to an experienced manager. And in a couple of years' time, he'd gone on to be a first. He's gone from running a youth team, a successful youth team, to going straight into a League One first team manager's job. And for me, at the moment, it's showing, and it's a little bit too much for him. And he will not say that because he's too proud. And I know he'll listen, and I know it probably will hurt him that we're saying this, but for me, something's got to change. So it's either Robbo and the management team, the Don Strasbourg have got to get some balls and step up a little bit more, or... And budget has nothing to do with this, Danny. Look at the start of the season, right? We were flying. We were battling with teams like Bolton. We just rolled over and had our bellies felt on Saturday against the same team, pretty much. They've got one or two players. So budget, I've seen, like, we're going backwards and we're regressing. Anyway, boys, we're going to have to take a break. So if you've got anything else to say just before we move on?
No, just take that noose away from your neck, Lee, for God's sake.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll discuss Callum, how he become a Wimbledon fan, and is the ownership of the AFC Wimbledon important to himself?
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Welcome back. And we're going to be talking to Callum regarding, because as we said, he is probably one of the youngest Wimbledon fans that we've had on the podcast. We've had a couple of old boys on recently who are talking about fan ownership, how they support Wimbledon. So we thought it'd be good. Callum approached us and asked if he could come on. And we've always welcome fans to come on the podcast, young or old. And it's brilliant to have you on, Callum. And tell us a little bit about yourself. So how'd you become a Wimbledon fan and how'd you get into the Dons?
Yeah. So how I got into Wimbledon was quite unique. So my next door neighbour is a big Wimbledon fan. He supported it when it was Wimbledon and then when it went to AFC Wimbledon. And his sons I'm best friends with. And this is going back 7 or 8 years ago. He had a spare ticket. He goes up about twice a month, once a month. He had a spare ticket. And I was like, yeah, go on. I'll come along. And ever since then, I've been going, supporting them. So I didn't support them when I was first born. I didn't really support anyone. I was just kind of a casual fan. Then I went to Wimbledon and I just liked how unique it was to other clubs. And yeah, I've been going ever since then.
What do you mean by unique? What can you just go on a little... I've only met you today, but I'm interested in what being unique. Is it the experience, the atmosphere, the club setup? What is it?
I think the club setup's quite unique with how you know young the club is. I feel like people who don't really go to Wimbledon or watch them won't really understand. You've got these big, you know, franchise clubs with all this and that. And I feel like it's just kind of, obviously, you're fan-owned and it's just more down to earth as a club. Whether that's the best thing to be is, different story. But I just quite like how together it is. I just love Wimbledon.
That reminds me, you sound exactly like when I first, like, well, I had my mate who had a spare ticket, took me along. It was Selhurst Park, Wimbledon versus Liverpool. And I just thought, I loved it. This is so different to watching, like, I've been to Spurs game. Yeah.
And I hate the Premier League as well. I can't stand the Premier League. I hate it. Diving or all this, that. And it's just, I just like the non-league side, the bitterness you get with watching the Wimbledon game, you know, the scrapping at it, you know, especially at the King's Meadow. You know, that place got bouncing at times. It's good times in there. I just like the raw emotion, really.
How important to you is Wimbledon remaining fan-owned? Because we've had this before. We've had a lot of people say fan-owned or selling out. I don't think there is anyone out there who's going to buy Wimbledon at the moment anyway, so I think it's a moot point. But there's a lot of investment versus fan owned. How important to you as a younger fan is that for yourself to keep going watch Wimbledon?
You know, I'll still support them no matter what happens. But obviously, I like the way fan owned. But you know, with the budget and stuff, I think if someone did come in with an investment towards the club, you know, ideally not the whole club, so we can still have people up there running it. But if someone come in with a budget and a bit of money to make us, you know, possibly make better transfers and give us more kind of stability, I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world. But with fan-owned, it is quite good how it's just kind of, you know, it's proper people running the club. You know, you've got these Premier League people, for example, these new Newcastle owners, you know, everyone's, you know, going loony about them. But, you know, 10 years ago, they didn't even know about Newcastle, or 20 years ago, they probably didn't even know who they were. And now, just because they've bought the club, everyone thinks they're diehard Newcastle fans. So from that perspective, I quite like it that the people, the fan ownership, the people really do care, yeah. I feel. Whether they're making the right decisions is another topic. But I feel like, down to earth, they care about Wimbledon and they care about the club. And as a fan, that's what I like about it. I'm going up there, spend my money, and I know it's the people who are, you know, genuine about the football club.
Quick great question answer. For you from me. Obviously, me and Lee have been watching Wimbledon for donkey's years, and obviously,
yeah,
playing is huge. Just interesting, if there was a, if you looked at Wimbledon's whole budget, would you be more inclined to have more money available to the playing staff over improvements to the ground in terms of the training ground? Where do you think, if we had an extra pot of money, where would that money go, do you think? Would you put it towards improving the plough lane so it's all done, taking money off the bond and it's done? Do you think that money should go towards ensuring that we've got a budget that, or maybe a mid-table budget, which gives us that opportunity to get an extra player? Do you think our budget would be better used to improve, maybe freshen up the management or the recruitment, or maybe improving the training ground? Where do you think, as a whole, our money should go as a fan?
Recruitment.
Over everything else. Why is it so important?
Obviously, we're in, you know, debt with the stadium, etc. But I just feel like the recruitment isn't good enough, and it's kind of, it's always been like this to a certain degree with players as well. You know, just letting them go for cheap, and I quite like to just not be having to be in a relegation battle, you know, every other year or every year. It would just be quite nice just to be, you know, a mid-table team, because I don't think we're anything more than that right now. Well, obviously, not right now, we're in a relegation battle, but, you know, I can't see us doing anything for a few years getting out of it. Or,
I mean, it's pretty interesting, Callum, because literally, you've been spending, what, we've been at 8 years?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how long.
So, were you watching Wimbledon in the conference or in League Two?
League Two.
Right, so literally, you've been watching Wimbledon, and all you've ever seen, apart from one season, is us be relatively poor. But yet, you're stuck at
it. I haven't seen a relegation, to be fair.
No, you haven't. But year, you've been seeing, like, Midson scoring last minute or the penalty. You've seen us get promoted, which was amazing. And every year, struggled. That's pretty hardcore for a relatively new fan to go, do you know what? I'm just going to turn up and watch us be relatively poor for 8 years. I mean, that's
especially especially with what's on our doorstep as well, regards to other teams that you could go possibly at that age, especially when you were young and you could be influencing to watching it. Yeah, that is.
How would you sell the club, Callum, to like a mate? If a mate of yours was, how would you sell it to your mate who goes, oh, I don't know what I'm doing Saturday? You're going to watch Wimbledon Doncaster. How are you going to convince him to go and watch the game?
That's a hard game to sell, isn't it, really? But. I've had a few mates who've come to Wimbledon games. I just say it's just kind of like a friendly environment. Everyone gets on, have a few beers before the game and just go out and support the team. You know, it's a different type of football to what most of my friends see. They're all kind of Premier League supporters. I'm not really sure how specifically.
Callum, do you think Plough Lane helps the fact that we get new fans in, like your mates who come in? To be able to watch and be able to actually see the ground if they were, say, at King's Meadow and they were in the John Smith stand, I think it used to be called. That, you know, the side stand with
the American guy.
You couldn't really watch from there because you couldn't see anything and it was dire sometimes. You had to get in like an hour before kickoff if you wanted to get a good spot. Do you think Plough Lane helps bring in younger fans like yourself?
Yeah, I think it does 100%. Yeah, just more, and it sounds really wrong, but kind of not me, but the younger people, they like seeing the, you know, the new stadiums, the kind of flashy outside, you know, you've got the flats, etc. It's just more presentable. And I think that's why it would attract more people my age. I'm actually taking a friend to Plough Lane in a few weeks, and I think he'll actually be really, really surprised at how much of a good facility it is.
Also, I think the area helps now, where there's lots of pubs, restaurants.
There's pubs, you know what I mean? You can go out. At the King's Meadow, it's kind of just, you know, you had a little calf down the road, and then
got the carpet shop on the corner.
all the big ones.
I was going to say to you, Kellen, you're a Don's Trust member. You said that to us before we came on, that you are a member of the Don's Trust. Do you feel that you get, as a younger fan, enough engagement? Do you feel that you are engaged with the club, that they're taking your views on board with regards to the Don's Trust? And if so, or if not, how does the club get more engagement from younger fans like yourself? Like, we've had Jamie Slevin on, who I think is fantastic. You are coming across really well as well. You're very well spoken. How do we engage the younger fans? Because a lot of it is old boys, you go to meetings and it's just old boys like me and Danny.
Yeah, so around the Don's Trust, I haven't really had much involvement. And another thing, I don't really know how, it sounds bad, but I don't know how to get involved as such. I don't know how to get involved. If I've got a problem, you know, who do I speak to? All right, I'm a Don's Trust member, but who do I actually go to speak about any maybe match day problem I have or something like that? I don't really know what to do. That might be my mistake as well. From that point of view, I'm not really sure how to get involved, and if I say anything, how much impact it will have.
Yeah, good. And how do you feel that? Do you feel that you get the engagement that you need? Not that you want to get, but you do get the engagement that you need. Yeah, you get the questions and answers that you require from the club.
Yeah. Most of the time. Yeah. To be fair, from my point of view as well, I could probably get more involved. From my side, you know, maybe I could, you know, ask more questions. I'm not really asking a lot.
To be fair, hopefully there is Don's Trust board members who do listen to the podcast. So hopefully they'll be able to answer that question when it comes out on the day, Thursday. So yeah, I think they'll be able to suggest how to get.
I don't actually know who to contact and email or, you know. I don't actually know. Well, I'm a member, but
I know regarding the stadium stuff, there is the three new SLOs, Anouk, Tim, and Paul Raymond. They're the ones there is an email for them, which I'm not 100% sure of right now, but they're the ones, if you had any issues with the stadium that you should be, or any away problems or anything like that. But yeah, no, that's good. That's good that you are feeling engaged and you want to get involved. That's what the club needs.
I think I could, from my point of view, I could probably get engaged more, and I'd quite like to do that. Obviously, I wouldn't want to get engaged too much where it's kind of, I don't know, stressing me out, or do you know what I mean? But I'd like to get involved more.
It's what Jonesy said last week. Jonesy said, do what you can. Yeah. We all do what we can. And that's the only thing you can do. You can only give 100% to it. So that's brilliant that you want to be involved. And I think there's a lot of young women and fans who would love to be involved, but like yourself, might not know how to. So yeah, it's good.
Good question for me then. Let's get to the core of it. What's going to happen this year? Do you feel that we've got, what are your expectations, your hopes in terms of the team this year? Are there any particular players that you're looking forward to coming into the first team, or any players you think might leave in the summer? Where do you think we're at? What do you think is going to happen come beginning of May?
Radoni leaves.
Yeah?
Radoni goes in the summer, yeah.
Asau,
I'm not sure, but I've seen speculation on Twitter, obviously speculation, but there are a few clubs who are actually looking at Radoni right now. Okay. And I believe that, you know, if the offer comes in, he's silly not to go. Do you know what I mean?
How much do you think he's worth, mate? How much would you
take? 750, I'd take.
It's not far off, to be fair. I think that's about right. 750, I think, is about right.
I was going to say 800, so yeah, it's not.
I'm not specific. You know, I don't know exactly how much, but around that margin. But I know for certain that we've been selling players way too cheap, so we need to get our value for our money. So then this money, which comes in, can then be invested to wherever it needs to go.
And what do you think this year? Do you think we've got... I mean, obviously, we spoke about there being four potentially poorer teams than us, which I think is staggering.
Yeah.
That's being shown. What do you think is going to happen come the end of April, beginning of May? Where do you think we'll sit?
I think that question's a lot easier to answer on, after Saturday.
Okay.
But I will say, I think we'll just scrape it. Just. Only because, going off what you said, and I've watched a few games where we played the likes of Fleetwood and stuff like that.
True.
And Morecambe. There are worse teams in this league than us, which is kind of frightening because we are pretty dire right now. But there are worse teams. So the standard isn't, you know, it's obviously a good standard, but it isn't, you know, great right now. But I think we'll just scrape it.
Crikey. It's so nip and tuck, isn't it?
But yourself, what do you think?
Mate, again,
it's hard to call, but I think Saturday's huge. That's what I'm saying.
Even with me, though, and again, I won't speak too much about Doncaster because I know it's coming up. The only thing I would say is we've never been particularly good at teams who are down there. Who are not going to come at us and come at us, we struggled. So,
and they've just won. I
personally still think that there's going to be four worse teams than us come the end of the year. I think that they'll, by hook or by crook, we'll nick one off somewhere. Maybe bringing all of our full strength guys back might make a difference. The one thing I would say is that if Rodoni's worth the money that people are saying, if Asal's as good as people say, if Woodyard is this midfield general who can play in a lot of the team in League One, they are going to have to play well to keep us up. They're going to have to play well. Yeah. Finchy.
Yeah, just last question. It's to both of you, to be fair, but you know, we've talked about recruitment quite a lot now and how it's failing and stuff like that. At the end of the season, we have quite a few players out of contract. I think Ben Hennigan, Shay Alexander, Woodyard,
Guinness Walker.
We've got quite a few who are going to be out of contract. We're going to lose Rodoni. I still think he will go in the summer for a fee. All our loans will go back. How do we build a team for League One or League Two football next year? When, for me, I keep hearing about how good our youth players are, but a lot of them are on loan. We've only got one player out on loan at a football league club in Corey Andrews. There's no loanees in Conference. So all our youth loanees are out at Conference South or lower teams.
Yeah.
And we expect these young boys then to go and step straight into League One. Right, Asal didn't do that. He literally just done it, didn't he? We got thrown
by default, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I can't see these youth players stepping up into League One when they've been playing Ryman Premier League Conference South football. So we've got one player out on loan at the moment in a League Two team. The rest of them are not in the Football League or the Conference. We are losing 8-9 players at the moment in the summer.
Yeah.
Whatever league we're in, how are we building a side for next season?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, mate. But Rodoni, though, the only thing I would say is that Rodoni came straight from Casuals, didn't he? Straight from Grimfin Casuals, and
he didn't go straight into a first team, mate. He was at a U team for a long, long time.
No, but he went Grimfin Casuals, and then he came into the first team, didn't he? He had the year at Grimfin Casuals and came in. But
that's one a year at the moment.
Rodoni's taking a year to get ready to first team football. He hasn't come in and start pulling up trees from ball one. He's played at Casuals, come in, been in, been out, been in, been out. I mean, when you strip it back and look at the process idea and the conversation, bloody hell, it's bold. Like, seriously bold. You're basically banking on these younger players, and the whole model was about keeping the players together. Well, we know that the moment we get good, we're asset stripped, and the next guy's got to come in. Well, they've got to come in a bit at a level which is close to it. It's tough, really.
I don't mind that. I don't mind being a selling club, though, because that is what we have to become.
We sold
Ollie Palmer, and I don't think we invested that 300 grand because we got another loanee straight away. Callum, you go, mate.
Yeah. Talking about players going out of contract, which one of those would you actually give a new contract to?
Only one.
You know, this Nesta, you know, links to another club, I'd be getting him gone. I'd be saying, take him, mate. Go on. He's there. Have him. You know, because he's getting quite a lot of hype. Well, not hype, but, you know, on Twitter and stuff. He's linked with all these people. Every time I watch him, he's bang average.
Yeah. I mean, if you genuinely want to kick up the league, the reality of it is the personnel that we've got are not capable of doing anything more than hovering over the relegation. And the reality of it, which is interesting in this Robbo revolution that's coming, is that if he's genuinely got beliefs that we could kick on, he's going to have to change the whole lot. Because at the moment, the squad that we've got, the squad that we had last year, at the moment, they're showing you clearly that we're hovering at best, and we're not able to carry on. I would keep, I think Hennigan, I would keep him, but he'll go. I think he's, yeah, I think he'll definitely go. And after that, apart from Woodyard, I'd be saying to everybody, thank you ever so much. But all that money, we're going to have another look at it. We'll have to bring a whole load of guys in. But how do you do that? I don't know.
I'm keeping Alex Woodyard. And yeah. I'm getting rid of the rest. Shea Alexander has been the biggest disappointment for me out of all them players.
I think he wasn't good enough, though.
He hasn't stepped up enough.
We recruited him from Barnet. He just
he was meant to be one of the best crossers of the ball in the conference. And we need to be looking at the conference and Conference South and nicking the best players like Peterborough do. But we end up getting duds, unfortunately. Nesta, I thought he could kick on, but I think he's regret. Shame if he goes on a free, because I think we could have probably got some decent money from him last season. Ben Hennigan, he just looks like an absolute shocking centre-back at the moment.
No, he looks tired. He looks very tired.
Did well at Gillingham, mate.
Some of the mistakes that he's making, though. Look at the mistake he made recently at home where he rushes off. I think it was against Morecambe. He rushes back onto the line behind the keeper, and then it's like, what, he didn't go towards the ball. He looks like a bomb scare at the moment, and I think we need centre-backs. Our best centre-backs at the moment are Paul Kalambaye and Daniel Soccer, which I never thought I'd say in a million years that Dan Soccer is one of our best centre-backs. Do you know what I mean? I'd keep Alex Woodyard and anyone else. That's what I mean. We've got, what, 6-7 players going on back on loan and 6 players going possibly leaving on free. We would only lose a very threadbare with a youth team that have played non-league football at highest level of Conference South, and we worry about this season.
But, you know, saying what you said there, Lee, obviously these players, this sounds very bad, but if we get relegated, even if we do stay up, I feel like it's going to be the same thing next season with all these players leaving and our recruitment. Maybe going down won't be too bad for us. I never thought I'd say that, but with all those players out of contract, I don't really know what we can do.
Well, Sam Elliott asked me the question the other week, and I've said this to you a couple of times, Danny, on here, and I'll say it to you, Callum. If we could keep the same budget, is getting relegated the worst thing in the world? Because if you look at the league below, other than Salford and possibly Wrexham coming up, there's not a lot of teams with a lot of money in that league. Okay, so we could compete and probably be one of the better players in that league and probably win games. And winning games, you know what that brings? That brings positivity. It brings happiness. At the moment, this is a results-driven game. Football needs results. You need 3 points. We've not got them for a very, very long time, and that's why there's a lot of negativity around everything at the moment. Going down and starting to win games, but you go down and we don't start to win games and we struggle again, then the whole place explodes.
I think you're down a really, really, really slippery slope if you get relegated. I think you're going... You look over the last 2 or 3 years, Barrow, FA Cup,
Southend,
Boreham Wood, struggled. We've played a number of teams in leagues, Crawley knocked out of the Cup. We have really struggled against teams who are lower down, who are a bit more physical, who are basically going to bully teams around. And we have not got the players who are going to be able to fight and keep it going at the moment. Now, I'm not saying that's not going to change. And as I said before, I do back what Robbo's trying to do culturally. I get it. I totally understand him off the pitch. I really get it. But unfortunately, as a football head coach and a manager, and frankly as a football club, yes, it is great, we do so many wonderful things off the pitch, I think it's marvellous, but at the same time we are relatively judged by what you do on the pitch, and at the moment we're not where we need to be, which is a shame.
Last question before we move on regarding and do a preview of Doncaster. Last question to you both: do you actually understand, I know you probably just said it there, that do you actually understand what this project and process is?
No,
I feel like really. I feel like I do, but I do feel that with it, it is highly contradictory and it is highly risk afflicted. I think that's the problem. The idea of it, I get, but I think it's so risky and it's so sketchy and it's not pie in the sky, but it's so difficult to execute. If it was easy to execute, a lot of people would do it and they're not. But I do feel I understand what Robbo is trying to do. I kind of get it. I don't agree with all of the different bits and bobs in terms of the subs coach and everything else. I feel that, frankly, a League One club, I think a substitute coach is not irrelevant, but I feel that money would be better off putting elsewhere. It might not be on a lot of money, but again, I feel like we need to, he'll need to, over the summer, if he stays in the job, off the pitch, he's got the idea of what, where we want to be. But I think he's got to have a really good reflect and go, okay, do you know what? We can't make the same mistakes twice. And it will be fascinating from a recruitment point of view, whether they're going to get it right or not.
You said, no, you don't understand it.
I just don't, you know, Robbo's believing in this process and, you know, this way of playing football and that. But we've won in 14 games. You know, you can't, right now, you can't say his process, etc., is working.
Mm.
It's just, I feel like what he's telling us and then the actual outcome of the results, etc., is two different things. So for me, I don't understand what he's trying to do.
No, I agree. And I think off the pitch, maybe he is changing cultures and stuff like that, which I kind of get, kind of needed it. But on the pitch, I don't see it being any different to what we had previously with Glenn Hodges at the moment. Actually, I see the football being slightly worse in the last couple of games. And I just think, yeah, going on, we'll move on to Doncaster in a minute. But if we lose to Doncaster, something needs to change. And I think it's either the management team or the CEO. But anyway, we'll move on and we'll come back. We'll have some positivity regarding Doncaster, hopefully.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans, for the fans.
Welcome back, and we're going to be discussing the massive, massive game on Saturday against Doncaster. Is this our biggest ever game? Do you reckon this is going to be our biggest game, or will we have bigger games this season? I think it's huge. Doncaster, unfortunately, are on a bit of not bad form, to be fair. They beat Accrington 2-0 on Tuesday. They lost to Sheffield Wednesday 3-1, no disgrace in that. They beat Lincoln 1-0 away, lost to Portsmouth 4-0, lost to Ipswich, and beat Sunderland, which most teams other than us can beat Sunderland. So they've won 3 in the last 5. We've not won any. What are we saying, boys?
I think positional-wise... Sorry, Danny.
No.
I think positional-wise, probably with how it's played, probably one of our biggest games of the season, I think. I really do think there's a lot riding on this game. And I think if we lose this game, I can't see us staying up. I think we've got to win this game. Not even a point. We've got to win it. We've got to try and, you know, change the tide as such, you know. Even a point, you know, that's 15 games. We've got to win. And I think, yeah, it's going to be one of our biggest games of the season, if not the biggest for where they are in the league and where we are and what we're kind of going through.
I never thought at the beginning of the season we might get relegated on not on the number of games we lose, but on the number of games we draw. And we are massively struggling in the fact that we're drawing games. I think from a personal perspective, I think it's going to be the biggest game of the season for us is it's going to be the game that either decides that we're going to kick on and potentially start picking up results elsewhere. Or like you said, that number gets bigger, the fans get worse. We go to Wigan, we ain't getting much at Wigan. So then all of a sudden it's the next game. Then we've got Plymouth away, which is not a great hunting ground for us. And all of a sudden the snowball starts moving. And all of a sudden the next home game, I think, is it Lincoln maybe? I think it's Lincoln next after that. So I think it's just that it's trying to stop momentum. The momentum is such a hard thing. It's so easy to lose it and so hard to get. And we desperately need to get some momentum to kind of stop this rut. But the annoying thing is we're playing a team now who are in a little bit of form, won a couple of games, and it's God's law. And again, the thing I would say as well, lads, and maybe I'm being really optimistic, but we have been really unlucky, I think, in terms of the injuries, suspension timings, the COVID stuff. I'm not saying it's an excuse, absolutely far from it, but we have had an element of unluckiness, and I'm like to think we might repay that. Well, have we earned it? Don't think we have, but I do feel that we're due a little slice of luck.
I give you the injuries. The injuries are unlucky, right? Rudy getting injured.
Glad you're giving me those.
I'm not giving you the suspensions because they're two stupid suspensions that don't need to happen, which means that we lost ourselves for two games, which we could have probably done with him against Julian 100%. Right, McCormick don't need to get sent off just before the end of the game at Sunderland. I'm not giving you suspensions at all, Danny, all right?
Well, you're going to have to give me suspensions.
Right. Anyway,
what about COVID? Are you going to give me that?
On coming Doncaster.
Answer me. Boy, Boris, answer me. What about COVID? Are you going to give me that one as well or not?
Well, that was months ago. months ago now.
Yeah, so that was the start of the rot.
When we get relegated, we're going to blame COVID for us getting relegated. We sound like Tranmere fans. But let's go about Doncaster. I'm actually quite optimistic regarding Doncaster.
Bloody hell.
Because we're going to have some of our big guns back. We are going to have a sale back. We are going to have, hopefully, Woodyard back. We are going to have we'll have a different formation. And we need to go out and attack. We need to go out.
How are we going to have a different formation? He's never changed it, and he's not going to. Why do you think
he changed it against Juneham, and after 10 minutes, he changed it straight back again?
Right, but, well, there we are
then. But hopefully we'll change it. We can't have Cosgrove isolated up front on his own.
Who's he going to play up front with?
Terry Oblade.
Bloody
or a Sal. He'll have a Sal next to him and hopefully push a Sal up. But I am quite optimistic that we're going to have some of our big guns back and we'll hopefully get after Doncaster. On the flip side of that, my worry is that if Doncaster get after us, they get an early goal, it can then start. I think the ground's going to start getting a bit toxic.
Hostile.
Start getting a bit hostile. I think it could be happy clappers versus the negativity fans. And that ain't going to be good. I don't think it's going to be enjoyable for anyone that's going to be there because people were clapping against Bolton and some people told them not to. And it's all, it's going to be a nightmare if we lose to Doncaster. I'm just glad. I'm getting to a point now, Danny and Callum, that I actually don't, it's not bothering me not going to games.
I won't lie to you. The game on Tuesday was the first time I actually thought, you know what, me and my dad nearly turned off the Gillingham game. It was that fight, it's become, someone said it on Twitter, and it's a really good analogy. It's actually becoming a bit of a chore. And it's a shame because I've always been relatively glass full and really enjoyed watching Wimbledon. And I'm always trying to be as positive as we can. But there comes a point when you haven't won in 15 games. And to be honest, it's not just the fact that we've lost. We've been so poor. The time for talking is kind of finished. I know Robbo spoke about it already. It is now, it's put up or shut up. If you've got players out there who are ready to play. The thing that's interesting is that people like the lone players who have kind of not been that interested, they're not going to get up and play. No one's going to even remotely look at Dapo Mabude. No one's going to even remotely look at him. Thomas, no one's coming, lads. Unless you can get your life sorted and actually go out and play. You're not playing League One. You can go and have a season at Carlisle, if you like, and sit on the bench up there. It's nice and warm up there. They'll love it. But no one's coming, so you've got to find a way of improving it. Do we know much about Radoni yet, Lee? Why was he out?
Injured, isn't he?
Is he COVID?
No, he injured his hand.
Little niggle or something.
Well, I'm desperately, desperately keen that we perform it. Unfortunately, guys, I'm 1-1 again. I'm 1-1. I don't know.
Draw again.
I just can't see it. I don't know how we're going to score.
Callum, what's your prediction?
I really do not know. I'm gonna go for 2-0 Wimbledon.
God, mate, it'd be amazing.
I'm going brave. I'm feeling brave. I don't know. I feel like it's just got to the point where we've got to win this game. We just can't lose. I feel like that's how it's got to feel. And if we do lose, we're in deep shit.
Yeah.
I'm going 3-2 Wimbledon.
How are you doing that?
Because we've got five our best players coming back into the team, hopefully. And I've got to be optimistic that we'll nick. I can just see how women, what it's like. We're 1-0 down, we're 2-0 down, we come back 2-3-2. If we draw or lose, what happens after the game?
Well, people get the ump.
No. What happens after the game is in? Is this Robbo's time?
No.
Is this Robbo's last game?
Lee, change it. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but this is Glyn Hodges and Neil Ardley both went after it became a chore to start going to games. You said it's becoming a chore.
Of course it is.
It's not. No, don't say give up the ghost. I've never been Robbo out, but I'm getting very, very close to saying this is enough. This is what I said earlier. I don't know if it's Robbo's got to go or something else has got to change.
Enough is enough, Lee.
If we draw or lose to Doncaster, and we haven't won in 15 games. I don't know when our next win's going to come from, looking at the fixtures.
Agreed.
Crew maybe on Easter Friday. By that time, probably the bolt's already gone.
It'll be Oldham in next November, yeah.
Something has to change, Danny. We can't keep going on like this.
I totally agree. But he ain't going. Robbo is not leaving the club. I'm and not Joe saying... Palmer ain't leaving. So
someone should.
Frankly, this is the only thing that's going to change is somewhere along the line between now and the end of the season, we are going to win a game. If we're not, then we are absolutely pony. But we are going to win a game by hook or by crook. It'll come off someone's bum, just like we had last year when we were absolutely pony, just like we would do the year that we stayed up. We will find a way to win when we don't deserve it. And that might start something off, maybe, which might cobble some results together. We might stay up and then we'll carry on and do the same next year.
Yeah.
Are you taking that out of the Mark Robinson handbook there?
What's that?
Well, we will win a game. We will win one.
Will.
When it clicks.
Yeah. When it
clicks.
We're going to
win a game between now.
Helen, what's your view? What's your view? What happens if we draw or lose on Saturday?
I think if we lose, Robbo's really got to look at himself. But the problem is, if he does go, I don't know who we recruit. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know whether we can actually bring anyone in who's going to make a difference to where the team is. Yeah, that's how I sit with it. And I think Robbo has to win on Saturday. He's got no other choice. He has to win. And I think with players coming back, with Sal coming back, hopefully Woodyard coming back, I think that will just give us enough momentum and maybe freshness to beat Doncaster. But they did win in the week as well, so they're going to be coming off a 2-0 win.
I mean, to be honest with you, mate, for me, it's all about how he sets up. If he sets up with a proper attacking formation and he's like, do you know what, we're going to have a go at you, I think the fans will not necessarily forgive him, but they might go, do you know what, we'll have a look at it. If he turns up and we've got one up top and we're a bit more passive and we're sitting back, the fans aren't going to do it. If we're serious, go and attack. Go and show us that we're attacking. That pressing league you speak about, high press on you constantly, show us it.
I'll tell you now what we're setting up. We're setting up 4-2-3-1. We're setting up Brown, Hennigan, Will, Shay Alexander, Osu. And then he'll set up Marsh and Woodyard. And then we'll go, if Rodoni and Asal fit, Rodoni, Cosgrove, Asal. If Redoni's not fit, he'll go with. Trying to think who else we've got.
McCormick still suspended.
Mabudi.
No, McCormick.
There you go. He'll probably go McCormick, instead of Rudy. McCormick, Asao, and Cosgrove. No, Chislett. Chislett, one of our best players against Juneau, brings him off in the 60th minute. Just don't make sense to me, man. Really don't make sense, some of the decisions that have been made. But we're going to set up 4-2-3-1. And the same formation. We won't get crosses in the box. We won't get near the box at all. Yeah, hopefully it'll change. 3-2 Wimbledon, I'm going. You hit it here first, and then we'll start. And we can be positive next week.
Mate, wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it
Please.
Be amazing this time?
I want to be positive. I don't like being negative. I really don't like it.
I'm the People same. Think we I had love a great it, but... chat, and we were like, we're buzzing. But at the same time, as fans, we're trying to make this as accurate as possible for fans. I've been on WhatsApp groups. We've all been on WhatsApp groups about Wimbledon, and it's been like this. And it's like,
yeah,
I can't believe... We've had a massive rally cry. All the fans were absolutely well excited for Bolton. I was excited. I know the team was struggling. I know Gillingham were struggling with personnel. I get that. But I was expecting the guys on the pitch to hunt, to fight, to scavenge, to do what they could. And it was just like...
I felt so sorry for Jonesy. I felt so sorry for him. And he probably don't care too much, but what he said last week was spot on, right? Everything was spot on. And everyone who listened to the podcast was like buzzing, really excited, everyone. And then we get to Bolton and we just...
absolutely capitulated.
Don't even bother. Right.
Yeah.
Callum, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thanks very much.
Callum, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
And Lee, get some soup in, son. It'll make you feel a lot better.
Till next week. Danny, been a pleasure.
Despacho soup.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at The Wombles Had in Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.